You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On December 15th, Pat Hogan and Claire Robson of Bold hosted an evening of discussion with queer women in politics at Rhizome Cafe. It was the third and final event organized by Bold in recognition of Vancouver's 125th anniversary. The series of events celebrated the contributions of older lesbians to the civic and cultural life of the city. We're going to bring you some excerpts from the panel, and first we're going to introduce the five politicians, both current and former, who spoke. Laura McDermott was first up. Laura McDermott ran as the BC Liberal candidate for Vancouver Burrard in 2009. Previous to that, she did two terms as Parks Board Commissioner and in 1996 chaired the Vancouver Parks Board for one term. Following Laura, we're going to hear from Ellen Woodsworth. Ellen Woodsworth is outgoing city councillor in Vancouver and a longtime community activist. She served on Vancouver City Council from 2002 to 2005 and again from 2008 to this year. Mabel Elmore is the current NDP MLA for Vancouver Kensington. Mabel Elmore is her party's critic for multiculturalism and deputy critic for children and family development and childcare. Jane Bowie is the outgoing Vancouver Board of Education vice chair. Jane Bowie has served on the LGBTQ Advisory Committee and the Women's Advisory Committee. And lastly, Jamie Lee Hamilton, a longtime advocate for Aboriginal people, residents of the downtown east side, and sex trade workers. Jamie Lee Hamilton was the first Canadian transsexual to run for public office, most recently in the 2011 council elections in Vancouver. To start the evening, Claire Robson asked each woman to respond to the following two questions. Was there a time when you weren't out, and have you experienced homophobia or transphobia? Here's Laura McDermott.
I think the only time that I wasn't out was when I ran for class president in Kitsilano High School in grade 9. So, no, I've always been out. I ran in 96 the first time. I actually ran with Gordon Wilson for the Progressive Democratic Alliance Party, and it was my introduction to politics. It was phenomenal, and I loved it. And I had the bug since I've been, like I say, in high school. So, it was a natural progression. When I ran in '96, there was in Vancouver Burrard there was four gay and gay men and myself. There was Tim Stevenson, Duncan Wilson, MTS Popat and myself. So that was 96, and I think that, you know, having grown up in Vancouver, that really made the news. It was a big deal. It made cross country news, and my grandmother phoned and said, "What's this about?" I said, "Oh, I don't know, Nana, they always get things wrong in the paper, you know, I don't know what it was about." So, you know, so that kind of stuff. But no, I ran as an out lesbian. I'm first lesbian chair of the Vancouver Park Board and vice chair for two. So it was an amazing introduction to politics. I love it. I'm not in it these days because I'm taking some time off, but I'll be back.
I think that the last major campaign that I was involved in that I was not out in was when we did the Ottawa abortion caravan. And I changed myself in the House of Commons for women's right to choose. And then when I came back from the caravan, I came out. And that was, I think, 1971, so it was a few years ago. And in terms of being, and I've been involved with so many campaigns, social justice campaigns, ever since I was going to on my parents' shoulders to anti-nuclear demonstrations in the 60s, I guess. But, I mean, I grew up in a political family. I've been just, I will always be active, and that will continue. And I think being out is a matter of how much power you have in the world. I don't think it's sometimes it's an individual choice, but often it's how much power we are, enables us to come out. So when I was first elected in 2002, I was, the first elected city councillor in Canada, and I wasn't able to find any other lesbian councillors, although I did this term find a couple, but they were pretty closeted. And luckily I was able, with Tim Stevenson, to put the pressure on to actually get the words lesbian, gay, transsexual, bisexual, queer said aloud. And Mayor Larry Campbell at the time was actually okay about saying them out loud. So we were able to, Tim and I were able to hold the first Pride celebration in the council chambers with everyone from Rob Joyce to all kinds of people around the table talking about remembering the early days with the gay activists towards equality and some of the other things that we'd all been involved in the 70s. And then our party split in two. We lost the election, and it was sort of like dead silence for 3 years from 05 to 08. And then when we came back in, I pushed really hard to get the advisory councils reestablished at the city that had been disbanded by the previous party that was in power. And with that, we got the first LGBTQ advisory committee set up and a women's advisory set up. And we set up the Multicultural Advisory Committee, but that had actually been up before. Some of the other committees had actually been established before. So with that committee, the LGBT Advisory Committee, it meant we were able to animate City Hall and get the mayor to stand up around violence against queers and, you know, make an incredibly powerful statement, a Pride March. We got the police department, parks, schools, library, firefighters, everybody out there wearing T-shirts and making strong statements. Because I've always felt that if I gained any power in the world, I had the power because of the power of the social movements I was part of. And if I lost power, there was an indicator that our social movements were losing power, and that it's my responsibility, anyone who's got power, to use that power to make a world that is safe from racism, homophobia, classism, poverty, disabledism, etc. That's my responsibility if I'm elected to public office. But it's also my right, my privilege, and my safety to do that. And it's by being out there, I am safe in the world, and that people around me are safe. And the more we're out there together, the safer the world's going to be for all of us. So it's not just something, it's my value system, but it's also my understanding of my own safety in the world is to keep pushing out those boundaries. And I am concerned right now because I think that with the federal agenda and the provincial agenda and the global recession, that we're under attack, and that we need to strengthen our organizations, and we need to reformulate ourselves in the context that we're facing right now, because I think we're in dangerous times.
So I came out as a lesbian when I was a student at UBC. I joined the Gay and Lesbian Club at UBC, and since then I've been involved in many campaigns and activities, and I've always continued to advocate on behalf of gay, lesbian, and transgendered rights and issues. So it's something that is very central to me. When I was campaigning for the provincial election in 2009, I was out as an out lesbian campaigning, and interestingly, I didn't experience any homophobia. And also, to the surprise of many reporters who are very curious about that as well, particularly from the Filipino community. And I had just broad support right across the spectrum from, because I represent a very diverse community, and just a lot of support. So that was very heartening. But one thing I have noticed is that I get a lot of constituents and supporters and people coming to my office asking for help on either issues with their children in school, facing bullying, or, you know, having to help parents find different schools for their kids to go to because they're being bullied, these kinds of things, students or people wanting to file discrimination cases. So I get a lot of those files coming forward and helping people with that a lot. And it's an issue that I'm very passionate about and also looking to carry forward in the provincial arena, particularly to support kids in schools, to ensure that we have those protections right across BC. protections against homophobic bullying right across BC. And as well, we've also tabled the first trans bill recognizing trans rights in BC. So those are some of the priorities looking forward to continuing to work on. Thanks.
I came out publicly in terms of as a public person not until the 1999 election, and I did so because it was exceedingly apparent to me that there was a need to be standing up for queer students in the schools, and it seemed it was an obvious connection, and it was through conversations with queer youth that it sort of awakened my memories of how horrible it had been for me in high school in particular, and I had dropped out and it had been a truly unpleasant experience. But that became one of my passions. Prior to that, I had focused most of my energy around fighting for students with special needs, and because I have a son with special needs, and so it was a very personal kind of thing, and recognizing that the barriers to him getting support were the similar kind of barriers to all sorts of students getting the kind of supports they need, students who are facing racism, students who are living in poverty, and queer students. Very, very similar kinds of experiences and a need to make systemic change. So that became one of my major passions. I didn't get elected until 2002, and between 2002 and 2005, we at the Vancouver School Board passed a comprehensive policy that prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, perceived sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or perceived gender identity and gender expression issues. It's a very comprehensive policy, and at the time was really truly groundbreaking. I'm extraordinarily proud of the work that the advisory committee that we set up in that term did around that, and the work that's continued at the school board around that. We were in the midst of strengthening that policy and doing more work on it just prior to the election, and it'll be interesting to see how that proceeds under the new school board, whether that actually comes forward. It was delayed because of the Teachers' Job Action, because it wasn't able to go through committees where teachers would be able to give input on the policy, but the strengthening of it is primarily in the areas of trans rights, so I would be really proud to see it come forward in a I'm looking forward to that. So I'm still really focused on those issues and working to defend public education, because I think it's one of the truly important cornerstones of our democratic society, and I look forward to continuing to fight to defend public education. In terms of having experienced homophobia, I have. When I've had a significant number of hate emails and phone calls, etc., over the years. Although it was really interesting, when we were passing our policy, unlike the experience they had in Burnaby, when we passed our policy, it happened with almost no media coverage at all. That was because at the time the media was entirely focused on issues of racism that the school board was also dealing with at the time, and I'm proud of the work we did in that area as well. But that was what the media was focused on, and yet at the same time we were passing this groundbreaking policy, the media would all be there and they wouldn't report on that. They would report on the work that was being done around racism. I guess it was just easier for them, or maybe there wasn't a controversy around it. It was a positive thing in that we were able to get a lot of work done without there being a big spotlight on it. But it also meant that a lot of students never knew that we had that policy, never knew that they could feel safe in their schools, never knew that they could come forward and talk to teachers. We did the training of administrators and counselors and teachers, but students themselves, a lot of them never knew we had that policy, and that's something that the board is still working to overcome. So, well, in Burnaby, I don't think there's a single student that doesn't know they have a good policy. So, anyway, I'll pass it on. Thanks.
It's really wonderful hearing the other women's stories. I have a bit of a different situation, as all of you know. But I, at a very early age, I was under medical treatment for what was called gender identity disorder, and I was the first youth in Canada to be sanctioned with a transsexual identity. And I know going to school, that created problems, because on the one hand, I had doctor's certificates that I could attend school as a female, but of course, there was quite a backlash there at the school that it made it very difficult for me. But so my activism has been a very central part of my life. And in 1996, I decided, after being involved with COPE for a very long time, Sue Harris, who went on to become the first lesbian politician elected here. Anyway, she got me involved in COPE. And in 1996, I decided I was going to run. And, you know, I was surrounded by a lot of people, including Ellen and Daniel Gothrop. Some of you might have heard of him, an Aboriginal leader as well. And we decided the best thing for me to do would be to introduce to the public that I was transsexual, so it would get introduced on my terms and not have any media sensationalize the issue. And I must say, I was treated very well by the media. Kevin Griffiths, Griffin, we gave the story to a gay male who we thought would be the most sympathetic to introduce the story. And I did very well in that election, and I don't think I really encountered from a backlash against the public. You know, there was always snide remarks, but I remember there was one fellow that was very opposed. He thought I was using my transsexual identity to further my politics, and that was Mr. Cope, Harry Rankin. So, but I did education with Harry. He was from a different era, and he didn't understand the issue, and I was able, through my friendship with his wife, Connie Fogel, educate him. And in 1999, he endorsed my candidacy along with the Cope candidate. So that shows that when you do some educational work, you can change people's opinions.
We've been listening to Five Queer Women in Politics, recorded at Rhizome Cafe on December 15th at an event organized by the group BOLD, Bold Older Lesbians and Dykes. The last speaker was Jamie Lee Hamilton. Before that, we heard Jane Bowie, Mabel Elmore, Ellen Woodsworth, and Laura McDermott. They were responding to a question about if there was a time when they weren't out and whether they had experienced homophobia or transphobia. We're now going to hear three of the panelists responding to a second question by Claire Robson of Bold. She asked if there were any strategies they could share about survival as queer women in the rough and tumble world of politics. We're going to hear first from Ellen Woodsworth, outgoing city councillor in Vancouver, then Mabel Elmore, current MLA for Vancouver Kensington, and finally Jane Bowie, outgoing vice chair of the Vancouver Board of Education.
I think that, you know, if you look at the political situation we've got in the city, we don't have wards, we don't have proportional representation, so you have to run with parties. You just can't get elected unless you represent a party, so that means you have to deal with the party machinery first off. The party machinery really are the boys behind the scenes. They really are the boys behind the scenes, and that became evident to me when I ran in 2002. It was... You have to fight. You have to fight with every ounce of your being. There's no way around it. These guys have power, they like their power, and they intend to maintain the power. They've got the power of having had powerful positions, they've got the power of being men, they've got the power of being white. They know what it is to have power, and they know what it is to maneuver power and to build their alliances with other people who have power, and they want to maintain their power. So for me, it was really important the second time that I was elected to get the LGBTQ and the Women's Advisory Committee up, the Multicultural Advisory Committee, the Seniors Advisory Committee, the Differently Abled Committees up. Absolutely critical for moving ahead with the agenda. It was also very critical for me to, right from the get-go, grab the mic and start speaking out on every single issue so that I kept strengthening my voice every time I stood up. And there was just one of two of us in COPE, you know, and we were the left-wing progressive voice. I'd worked in the downtown east side for 10 years. I deeply cared about what I was fighting for. And I just started to, one of the things that I started to do was, you know, work really closely with neighborhood organizations. So Maggie DeFries said, we need a motion on murdered and missing women. I said, absolutely. Someone from the trans community came to me and said, will you support Bill 6A's motion that's going at the federal level? I said, absolutely. And so I started working even closely with neighborhood organizations. And I'd already worked, you know, downtown east side. I knew everybody down there. And so but I started working with the West End neighbors, Marple, Norquay, Grandview Village Area, other neighborhood organizations, and became more and more convinced we needed wards. So, and she co-chaired, was chair of the cross-party committee on electoral reform in terms of wards and campaign donations and campaign spending, and a number of those critical issues around democracy and human rights and civil liberties. So fighting the structural protest, which was purportedly about the Falun Gong, but in fact that bylaw which went through really affects all of us who demonstrate, and you should look it up if you don't know about it. The other thing I did is I would stand up in council continually and say to the staff, have you put a gender race lens on this? Invariably, they had not put a gender race lens on their work. So I started just hammering that. And slowly, slowly, they started to put a gender race lens on it. But I didn't expect to have to fight to put a race lens on, quite frankly. But I actually had to fight to get us to join the Canadian Coalition of Municipalities Against Racism and Discrimination. And I knew it was going to get stopped on council. So I went back to the neighborhoods and I said, this is going to go down. They said, no, it's not going to go down. And I said, it's going to go down. You guys have got to be there and you've got to speak out. So I learned that as another tactic. If it's going to go down, then you've got to get the neighborhoods well organized so it's really going to cost the people with power if they don't support it. So I got that one through. In terms of a gender lens, I've actually got a cross representation of all the heads of all the departments putting a gender lens on the city capital budget, and then it will go on the operational budget. So that was a big breakthrough to start to talk about gender budgeting, and I'd hoped to go on for that to talk about participatory budgeting because I felt that was a critical way to engage the community in the city's budget, to understand what it is and the importance of it, and also the importance of municipal level of government. So using the mechanisms that are there and then pushing them out further, that's the way you know I was able to move, because it's by engaging people, engaging neighborhoods, we really can make the changes. You're not there by yourself. You're elected, or you're just full of your own ego if you think you are.
So when I was elected in 2009 in the last provincial election, I was the, as far as I know, I stand to be corrected, the second elected out lesbian MLA. The first one was Jen McGinn, elected 9 months previous in a by-election. And I believe I'm, as far as I know, and I believe I was also the first out lesbian of color, certainly elected in BC and possibly across Canada. And in my first speech in the legislature, I came out also there officially, so there wouldn't be any mistake, and talked about the importance of advocating on behalf of queer issues. And in terms of strategies, we have formed a queer caucus on the NDP side. There's four of us, so three guys and myself, and very clear in terms of being proactive in terms of working and advocating on queer issues. So, and we also work with, within the NDP, there's a queer committee. So they have a program across the province, and I'll be joining Pride marches and activities in different areas. Particularly, I'm very interested in the rural areas to do a lot of outreach. And the other area that I wanted to focus on is also bringing out and providing more support for queers, particularly in the Filipino community and other ethnic communities. So We've formed a Filipino queer organization, Pinoy Pride, and I'm very happy about that. They've really taken off, and it's been a lot of fun, and they're really doing a lot of organizing in the community, really within the mainstream Filipino community, and participating really in mainstream, the queer community, and also Canadian society. So I'm very pleased about that, and I think that's what I take as my strategies. I want to see more acceptance and understanding, and I want to see particularly queer youth across the province have the confidence just to stand up to be who they are and to be respected. So that's been my approach.
Interesting, because it's very different experiences. I've been lucky in that the two terms that I was on school board, I was on with very supportive boards who were, you know, pretty strong allies for the work that I was doing, and I think we did some amazing things, not just around queer youth rights, but also in a number of other areas, And so that was, there was a certain supportive network there. On the other hand, school board life is a very straight world. It's really difficult for queer parents to feel comfortable at their schools. It's just this assumption of a heterosexual lifestyle. it's a very heteronormative world, the school board life. And I remember I went, was at a BC School Trustees Association annual general meeting, and we were out of our district, we were bringing forward a motion around encouraging other school boards to pass policies like we had in terms of protecting students on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity and gender expression. And I spoke at the microphone. I was, you know, open about who I was and what the issues were. And the motion passed. Other than a couple of questions, there was no debate on it. There were a lot of districts that just didn't vote, but it did pass. But after that, no trustee would speak to me except for the trustees from our district until later in the evening after they had been drinking. Then I had some trustees that would come up and say, thank you for doing this, but you should know in my that the fellow trustees, we were up in our room partying and they were saying really horrible things. But thank you for standing up and doing that. And I thought, well, it made me realize just how lucky I was to be a trustee in Vancouver, where not only did I have supportive trustees around me on a board, but a supportive community that were you know, coming forward and working for queer youth, and a very strong support network. And I can't imagine what it's like in some of the communities around the province, where even fighting for, you know, let alone, you know, coming out, but just fighting for the rights of queer students is so scary to them. Those are the people who I worry about and wonder what kind of strategies they have to be able to do the kind of work that they know they should be doing but are often too scared to do. So I think that's part of what I'd like to do is work on ways to reach out to people that live in other areas, like Mabel was talking about, to ensure that youth in those areas have some advocates.
We've been listening to Jane Bowie, outgoing vice chair of the Vancouver Board of Education. Before that, we heard the voices of Mabel Elmore and Ellen Woodsworth. Along with Jamie Lee Hamilton and Laura McDermott, they spoke at a panel discussion to celebrate the achievements of lesbians and queer women in politics, recorded at Rhizome Cafe on December 15th. The event was organized by BOLD, Older Lesbians and Dykes.